Okay, hey, to steal a phrase that some of you guys in Bozeman are really familiar with, I'm excited to be here this morning. I consider it a real honor to be before you guys and to be considered worthy to bring a message. I know Christ has made me worthy. Don't misunderstand me. I have no problem with my worthiness before Christ. But I do appreciate very much the opportunity to encourage you guys and Jay's willingness to let me address you. And thank you for the kind introduction, Brother Jay. Appreciate that. My text is out of 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, if you would. And it's verses 8 through 13. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 8, going through verse 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Brother Mike Wojciechowski, I don't know if you want to come down, but would you come down and pray for the message? Let's just go ahead and have you come down so I can hear you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we know you are the sovereign King. All things are in subjection to you, Father, and we humble ourselves before you this morning. We do lift up our thanks and praise for this nourishment that we get through your word, Father. We're grateful for the lessons that are being brought forth at this camp to further equip us to do your work. We know one of the most incredible miracles that you have brought forth, Father, is that your word is intact and available to us today in its original form, and that we can freely study it and live our lives by it. Father, it would be my prayer that each of us here and those that seek you would not be merely hearers of the word, but doers, that we would apply this to our lives, to our daily lives, and that we would walk in your light, Father, that would be even more so my prayer that we would be lovers of truth. This is the key, Father. Your scripture tells us that if we're not lovers of the truth, we will be deceived and given over to that. This is the key, Father, that we would not only be hearers of the word, doers of the word, lovers of truth. And that's a key, and we're grateful for this message that Kevin's going to bring forth, full of truth. And pray that you'd be with him, that he might bring forth this message and encourage us further to go on and do your work. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. Alrighty, that is the reason we come to things like this, right, guys? To get equipped for the work of service. That's what it's all about, and this isn't going to work right here. In Billings, I try and remind the brethren there that that's what this is all about. You know, many of the mega church movements that are out there, they bring you in and they tell you about all their various programs that they got going on. And then they say, you know, well, if you're not comfortable here, find some place where you're comfortable. That's crazy, isn't it? We're here to be equipped for the work of service. We don't go to a mega church movement where our attitude is, hey, serve us. You understand the difference there? See, it's S-E-R-V-I-C-E is what the Lord has put us into. He hasn't had us come into the church and then say, hey, preacher, tickle my ear. Preacher, tell me what I want to hear. Serve us. Big difference, isn't it? Two words sound very familiar. So I just wanted to encourage us, remind us that that's really what this is all about. We're studying 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, the letters, the epistles, or the letters, epistolos is Greek for letter, to the evangelist. And I always get a kick out of when you open up your Bibles that you buy in the Bible bookstore, and if you get one that's got introductory information on the letters, they'll always say, the pastoral epistles. Is that crazy or what? It says in there, oh, Timothy, fulfill the ministry as an evangelist. This is a pastoral letter and he's called an evangelist? Shows you how easy people can mess things up. So, Paul is in prison about 67 A.D. in Rome, his second go-round as far as we or what the Scripture teaches us. And he knows his death's coming. He knows he's not going to be able to escape this time because about 64, 65 A.D., Nero blamed the Christians for when he burned down Rome. And, of course, it's outlawed. And everybody now is up in arms about what's going to happen now under this great empire called Rome and us as Christians. So this is one of the sifting mechanisms, I believe, that God uses throughout the ages to see, are you really interested? Are you really interested? He's going to sift you. Am I getting feedback and stuff? Okay. I'm sorry. I have to move around. It's just my nature. Okay? So I'll try and stay behind. Try. No, you notice I didn't say my yes would be. I said I would try. Okay, so this is a sifting mechanism that God uses, I'm convinced, to see if people are really interested. So he lets these things occur and he finds out who's going to stick. I liked Brother Cliff's opening prayer when he talked about Hymenaeus and the other fellow, I forgot his name, Philetus?
Alexander,
thank you. Anyway, he said, you know, they're gone. The sifting came under Nero, pew, they're gone. Demas, he was pretty important. He's gone. He deserted. You know? By the way, if you become a Christian, there is no retirement. If I was under the old covenant, a Levitical priest, 30 to 50, I'm 55, I'd be 5 years in my retirement right now. But as a Christian, there's no retirement. You're in for life, and if you leave, you're a deserter. Period. You are a deserter. So what's going on is Paul is in prison. He's going to die. He's handing the baton. Kind of like, I think I do a lot of reading in the Old Testament. I like the Old Testament. Don't want to put anybody under law. Don't misunderstand me. But there's so many great lessons in the Old Testament. You look at Moses as he was put to rest, and then the baton is passed from Moses to Joshua, and Joshua's going into the Promised Land. You know, here you go, Joshua. And God says, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you. Just pay attention to the words. You know, pay attention to my word. I'm with you. Here comes Timothy, follower, you know, disciple of Paul, personal protege. Paul says, Timothy, pay attention to these things I'm going to tell you. There's a whole bunch of context before my verses that I was given that are pretty important that you would want to read and understand, and there's a bunch after. I don't know who's got what for text this weekend, so I'm probably going to step on a few people's stuff. I promise it won't be much. Maybe a little light tap dance. Maybe we'll do a two-step boogie. I don't know. But, you know, we'll figure it out as we go along. But, again, so this is the background, what he's writing to Timothy. And he's telling the man, power up. Timothy starts up. You know, power up. Kindle afresh. Gift. It's within you. Let's go, Timothy. You know, and I look at things throughout the world today, and I look at the good old U.S. of A. Oh, poet, don't know it. Anyway, I look at Rome, I look at America, I see so many parallels, brethren. So many parallels. You know, here comes a heavy hand of government down. You will not say or do these things. You know, and they started that in America, haven't they? See, the Scripture is so real in every generation. I mean, it really does work, and every generation has power. So the heavy hand's coming down. So he says to Timothy, I'm in 1 Timothy, I've got to get to 2 Timothy here. He says, remember Jesus Christ. Is that a big topic? Whew. Risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Well, like I said, big topic. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Remember Jesus. I just noticed that this was written before he told Timothy, remember Jesus. By his appearing. Now, brethren, Jesus appeared in the flesh, didn't he? It was important he appeared in the flesh, right? We get the picture of a man who walks by faith. All right? Very important that picture is presented. But I want to ask you, where was Jesus appearing, the appearing that abolished death, brought life and immortality to light? There's a big hint, through the gospel. How about you go to Hebrews 9? Let's go there. What do you guys say? I know you guys are very familiar with this. I looked through the August assembly here. I know you're very familiar with this. But we have some new, younger brethren in Christ with us. Which, hey, praise God, right? Yeah. Every year I love seeing the new faces, meeting the guys I haven't met before. That's awesome. It really is. That's what our work's all about. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. By his appearing. Remember Jesus Christ. Brethren, we want to remember Jesus in the flesh. But what specific reference does Paul make here? Remember Jesus Christ who walked among you. Did he say that? Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. The linchpin, right? If he doesn't rise from the dead, doesn't ascend to the throne. Hey, you know, what did he say in the letter to the Corinthians? And it was stated last night, we are among men most to be pitied. We really are. If our hope is in this life only. Christ is at the power position. He's saying, Timothy, there's going to be power on earth come against you. Remember the power position of Christ. He is your advocate. We all need to remember that. Because I'm convinced things are going to go from bad to worse. You know, that sounds vaguely familiar too. Maybe that was in this letter. Anyway, I am convinced. So you better power up. You better understand who Jesus Christ is, risen from the dead. I hope all you believe that with all your heart. Risen. Remember Jesus Christ. Didn't he say, Lo, I am with you? Remember Jesus Christ. Can we say this enough? Now, over the years, I've preached one primary message with a few, you know, frilly attachments, additions, whatever. But it's what? Guys in Billings Assembly know this. Know Jesus, right? Know Jesus. You need to know Jesus in prophecy. You need to know Jesus in the flesh. But you need to know Jesus in glory. And Paul says that that's where the real power is. Him raised. Rather, it says he who died, rather he who was raised. In Romans 8:34, right? He who was raised. This is a critical component. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. So what would we possibly do that would help us with that? Oh, that's right. The first day of the week, we gather together for the purpose of doing what? Breaking bread. Right? Communion. Lord's Supper. What do we do there? We proclaim His death? And it stops there? No. We proclaim His death, but what? That He's alive and He's coming back. There's going to be another appearing. By the way, brethren, you can see this theme for God's people in both the Old Covenant and the New. You know what it is? The Messiah's coming. Think about that for a minute. If you're in Christ, all right, Jesus has already been here in the flesh, right? He came. That was a hope for the Old Covenant. What's our hope? He's coming. That's the thread that still runs between both covenants. He's coming. And boy, your hope better be fixed on that. Right? Raised. He's coming for you. He hasn't forgotten you, brethren. He's there. And He is coming back for us. Risen from the dead. I've got to get my notes back out. Excuse me. Do you know your privileged position in Christ? It's another thing we need to understand. He has risen from the dead. Do you know your privileged position in Christ? Well, if He's been risen from the dead, you've been risen from the dead. We have multiple scriptures we'll talk about later about that. Now, I know a lot of this stuff, brethren, you know. You know. I'm not going to bring anything really new. If I do, you should be very scared. All right? Because Paul's going to actually turn Timothy back to remembering the Word. That's what he's going to point him towards. Remember this. My gospel. Apostolic teaching. My gospel. Okay? Now, Paul did own that, no doubt, but Paul's in the process of defending this. Are there guys out there with another gospel? So what are you going to say? A gospel or the gospel? If it's the gospel, it's my gospel. It's not a gospel. Now, that's what I personally hold to myself. Now, raised from the dead, descendant of David. One of the things I've been doing in Billings lately, I get the privilege of writing up the bulletin. And we get the bulletin backs from Brother Jay, and I don't know how many of you congregations get them as well, for which we're appreciative. And then I get the opportunity to do the inside. And the inside, we have a really nice layout that Brother Mark Donahue put together, and I just fill in the information. I get the opportunity to do a little article. Week to week. And I've been doing the covenants of God that basically came with a sign and trying to convey them, the importance of those, to the brethren in Billings. And one of them that I just went through recently was the covenant that God made, specific covenants that God made with the Levites or the house of Aaron to be the high priest and his descendants. And then specifically with the house of David, that he would be, that his house would be the kings. Okay? That they would rule in Judah, in Israel. So I've been going through descendant of David. One of the key components of the prophetic utterances in reference to the Messiah is that he was going to be a descendant of David. Now, most of you guys know that, right? Most of you guys know that. And that goes back to 2 Samuel 7, and then you can look in Psalm 132, which, let's just go there real quick. And then I'd like to kind of veer off a little bit. I told you I'd do this. Kind of share something with you that I put in that bulletin, and I hope it's beneficial. Talking about descendant of David. Psalm 132. Let's go there. How's everybody doing? Good. I didn't want to have to do an attitude check. Okay. That, well, we got her back there anyway. Okay. Okay. Psalm 132. All righty. Let's just look at verse 10. For the sake of David your servant, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne, if your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I will teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. Okay? Now, you can take a look at several passages in the Old Testament where God says that he made a covenant of salt with the heirs of Aaron, as the high priest, and a covenant of salt with the heirs of David. Basically, an unalterable, unchangeable covenant. And it says forever. Now, we know our history. About 586, the last king, quote unquote, in Judah gets hauled away into captivity in Babylon, Zedekiah, right? They go into captivity 70 years approximately and come out. Did a king get placed back on the throne? Is God a liar? Now listen, brethren, you're going to have people ask you tough questions. It says right there, God does not lie, right? In Hebrews 6, you lay that out on somebody and they'll go back and they happen to be reading. Well, how come it says here on the throne forever? And you told me, and I saw it too for myself, that Zedekiah, when he got carried away, there's not been a throne on the, you know, what's going on here? What's the deal? Did God lie? Well, let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. might have my wrong. Yeah, okay. 1 Chronicles 29, just in passing about Solomon. But notice this little statement in verse 23. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 23. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. Did you guys catch that? Just a little thing. The throne of Yahweh. Then Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh as king instead of David his father, and he prospered and all Israel obeyed him. Interesting little passage right there in those words. Why is that so important? Well, because there's always been a king on the throne of the Lord. Amen. That's why we've got Isaiah 6 and John 12, brethren. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because John's talking, he says, Isaiah saw him, talking about Jesus Christ, on the throne. In glory, there's always been our King on the throne. God is not a liar. He's not a liar. See, that throne on earth is nothing more than a type of the throne in heaven. Amen? Isn't the Scripture teach us that everything in the physical, particularly in the Old Covenant, is a type and a shadow? Amen? Am I stretching the truth? See, there's always been a king. Back to the time of Isaiah, before Assyria hauled away that rebellious, wicked northern kingdom. Christ was on the throne. Remember, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Who did Isaiah see? Christ, risen from the dead. How can you guys not get excited about this? Come on! How can you not get excited? Christ, risen from the dead, he's saying, Timothy, do you know who Jesus is? Keep remembering him. That's the literal in the Greek, isn't it, Tim? In that Greek verb. It means keep continuously remembering Jesus Christ. So what do I teach the brethren in Billings? Know Jesus. At every opportunity. Know Jesus. Know Jesus. You know. Know who you are in Christ, right? Descendant of David. So we can go through and we can prove all these prophecies. And so when Jesus comes, they prove his lineage, that he came in the flesh, that he was born of a woman, born under the law, the fullness of time. This was the one prophesied. And it's what we teach people when we study with them, right? This is Jesus. This is the Christ. This is him. Now do all people accept that? We know they don't. But that's what we have to do. He's going back and he's telling Timothy, Timothy, this is Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. And I've got to get back to 2 Timothy. For which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. Now, he told him earlier in chapter 1, join with me in suffering. Everybody who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will get a wonderful mansion, riches unknown on earth, all the honor of men. Right? How about they will be persecuted? Now, there's a reason that's written in the letters to Timothy, because there's persecution. Right? Now, I know you guys probably understand this too. But brethren, Paul suffered. We may get the opportunity to suffer, but the Word of God is not in prison. Paul's in prison, first prison term, about 62 A.D., and he preaches to the guard there. Writes about it in a letter to the Philippians, doesn't it? Hey, man, God's being glorified. Some of these guards are listening. Isn't this great? He's in prison. The Word cannot be imprisoned. How about your Old Testament examples? How about Joseph? Was he in prison? Was he unrighteously persecuted? Did God's word end up being imprisoned? No, it got fulfilled. It was in prison with him, but it got fulfilled. I mean, all these prophecies started to happen, didn't they? When Joseph's in prison, he's thinking about all these visions he had when he was younger. Hey, man, all these haystacks are going to bow down. That's my family. What, you know, how's this going to work? Well, I think he loved God and he was called according to his purpose and he trusted that everything would work out. Just kept doing what he was supposed to do. Timothy, do what you're supposed to do. Brethren, do what you're supposed to do. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Right? Descended to David. According to my gospel. Suffer hardship with me. Suffer with me. You guys going to suffer with me? Hey, what are you going to do when they finally convert everything over to electronic debits and credits and you can't use money and they have absolute control of you? And the message comes down to your congregation, there'll be no more homosexual preaching against homosexuality. Okay? Anybody that does? Number one, you just lost your IRS exemption for donations. That'll be a real test, see who's in it. It really will. And by the way, your preacher's going to jail. It's not that far off, brethren. Not that far off. Yeah. Brother, we need to be aware, right? So, suffer hardship with me. as a criminal, but the Word of God is not in prison. Now, how do I know for a fact the Word of God is not imprisoned? Look at this. Right here. Timothy wrote this about 67, maybe 68 AD, right? About 2,000 years ago, round numbers. Look at this. Look at you. Is God's words in prison? Imprisoned Paul, on it went. On it went. See, we have total confidence, brethren, that God's word will not be imprisoned. Now, there'll be a big time, according to the book of Revelation, when the progress of the gospel won't go any further. But I don't believe that's because the word of God will be imprisoned. They may take it away from us, but if we're doing our job and implanting it, right, it's not going to be imprisoned. It'll still go out. And the work will still get done with those who need and have to hear the message. All right? It won't be in prison. Another reason I think that it's important that Paul mentioned that David was born a descendant of, Christ Jesus was born a descendant of David. I still look at all the issues that go on with Jesus in the flesh. You know, by the time that the letters to Timothy are being written and to Titus, we know that the beginnings of the Gnostic heresy are starting to come out. It's starting to take root. And one of them was, you know, did Jesus really come in the flesh? There was a little vein of Gnosticism that was called Docetic Gnosticism. Docetic is the Greek word dokeo, which means to seem. So they would preach, it just seemed like he was in the flesh. You know, and that was so that they could continue to promote and say that it's okay to sin. You know, some of the Greek philosophies permeating the church. Now, it's okay to sin because we understand matter is evil. Flesh is evil. So that's what they would do. He came in flesh. That had to be established. He came in the flesh. Right? Don't forget that, because there's going to be a lot of guys say you cannot do certain things in the flesh. I agree with that, by the way. But you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, aren't you? Yeah, that's the way I read it too. But they're going to say, while you're in this tent, this carcass hauling around your spirit and the Lord's Spirit, bearing witness that you're indeed children of God, right? You can do anything that He did. Do you believe it? It's always the question. Do you believe it? And you know how most people know if you believe it? Well, Jesus gave you the big clue. He said, by their fruits, you'll know them. By their fruits. See, when tough times come, brethren, what do? Do we abandon the Bible and all of a sudden we start practicing cafeteria Christianity? Oh, I don't like that anymore. I'm now a little bit lactose, God. Word lactose intolerant, we'll move that aside. Now I like this. And most people do that. When the times get tough, what the Scripture says, all of a sudden they don't want to listen to it. Because it doesn't allow them to do what they want to do, right? Do you think that's going to happen? Yeah, look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Don't do it now. Later, he says, hey, they're going to heap up teachers in accordance with their own desires, wanting their ears tickled. See this whole thing? Whole letter. Timothy. He says, suffer hardship. like I'm a criminal, but the Word of God is not in prison. He says, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Okay, now we know who the chosen are, right? Are the chosen the saved? Right? Chosen are the saved, right? Let me give you a little trick, a little one I heard that was kind of interesting. People will tell you that Acts chapter 9, they can prove for you that Paul was saved on the road to Damascus prior to being immersed for the forgiveness of his sins. He was saved. They'll tell you. You know how they do that? Any of you know Acts 9 very well? He says, he is a chosen instrument for me. He's going to go to the Gentiles. Go back and look at when that was said. You know when that was said? Prior to him being immersed. So people say, so the chosen are the saved, right? You go, nope. And they go, see, Paul was saved. See how they make that connection? Seriously. Did you see that? Okay, now, as was mentioned last night, I can't remember if Steve specifically brought out, if it was an answer to a question or response to a question. He said, put all the scripture together and it'll define it for you. So, you know, when people try and lay something like that on you, let's remember, number one, God is not partial. There are people that say that you have nothing to do with your salvation. You've all heard that, right? You've all heard that? You have nothing to do with your salvation. Who was the guy that predicted the end of the world twice and blew it both times? What was his name? Do you remember? Anybody remember his name?
Harold Camping?
Yeah. Something, what, Harold Camping?
Harold Camping?
Or Camping, something like that. Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Camping. Thank you. Okay. He used to have a call-in show on a radio program. Every now and again, I'd listen to it just for comedic purposes. But he was one of those true believers that, I mean, you were chosen, you were elect, and you had nothing to do with it. Okay? But I used to love the way he'd, and, you know, people would call and he'd go, next caller, please. And he'd talk just, I don't know if you guys have heard him, but that's the way he would talk. And I remember people would call and ask him, well, how do I know I'm saved? And, well, there's nothing you can do. You know, God will choose you. Well, I tried to figure out what his number was and call in once I didn't get through. But I just wanted to take him to Acts 13. You guys know what I'm talking about? Turn to Acts 13. Since we're talking about the chosen, and people are going to have all kinds of weird ideas. You should probably know this. I think a lot of you do. I'm just going to remind you of it. Jay said he was curious to see where we were going to go with our passages, our text. Well, I'm really wandering around here. Okay, 13:46. Paul, been preaching, right? In verse 44, let's grab context. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city in Acts 13 assembled to hear the word of the Lord, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy. You guys catch that? Judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Whose decision was it? Sounded like they kind of judge themselves unworthy, right? Does God want anybody to perish?
No.
Does He take pleasure in the death of the wicked? So why would He have some kind of doctrine out there that you have no choice in whether He's going to select you for eternal life or send you to the lake of fire? What kind of nonsense is that? How do people hold that? Well, they don't pay attention to the totality of Scripture. That's how. Right? So, I usually make sure and show people 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter real quick. We're getting a little Bible lesson this morning. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. Oh, how you're supposed to be diligent about knowing His calling. His choosing. Now that's the chosen, right? For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You're supposed to be able to be diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Okay. Here's how I tell people. Here's the answer. Second Thess. Verses 13 and 14 of chapter 2. Usually I take people through this little, what I just did with you. A couple other verses I throw in there for the sake of time. I passed a few. But I usually end up here and I show them this. Because people that have been taught that, and they're out there, brethren, they're out there. Right? The frozen, chosen, all that stuff too. Right? I take them to 2 Thessalonians verses, 13 and 14. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seems pretty self-explanatory, doesn't it? Didn't we just answer it? Whose choice? It's ours. God will choose you if you step into His plan, right? But it's your choice. And how does He call you? How does He choose you? It says very clearly here. The gospel. You listen. You either judge yourself. That means I'm going to respond. Worthy. Or you say you're unworthy. Yeah, I'm out of this thing. But you do it. So whenever I see something in the Scripture talks about chosen, I mean, I always go through these steps in my mind and remember how God chooses. It's important you remember that and know how to explain it to people. Because they're going to hear some crazy stuff. So he's saying here to Timothy, and it sounds vaguely familiar, by the way, very typical, very similar language. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with it eternal glory. Isn't that what he just said back in 2 Thess? Pretty consistent, isn't he? Amen? Am I going to have to start dancing to get you guys excited? I hope not. Goodness gracious. Okay. Are you going to endure all things for the chosen? Do you know who they are? They're your brethren here, but are there not those yet to be chosen? So we're going to endure all things for the sake of the chosen, aren't we? That's our purpose. See, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus is three words you can sum up these letters. Serve and protect. I think the police stole that. Serve and protect. See, what do? We preserve, protect the saints, we save the sinners, don't we? But it's service in both realms. That's what we do. We serve. We endure all things. Paul says, I did it. I'm in prison. No problem. God will cause all things to work out for good. By the way, I know I'm being poured out as a drink offering. The end's near. I'm going home to glory. Yoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! He's a Tigger, not an Eeyore. He's not out there going, oh, thanks for noticing me, Lord. You see Paul penning this letter going, and Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Risen from the dead. Can you see it? It bugs me when people come into the assembly. I'm going to be honest with you. Into the assembly and it looks like they just got gut shot. How are you? I'm okay. You know. Time out. I gave Mikel a bad time this morning. Well, we got through. Where is Mikel? Is he up there? Is he hiding now? Oh, there he is. Mikel, what was it you said exactly? You said we got through it. We yeah, you said he comes into the trailer. I'm going over my notes for my message, figuring out how I'm going to change my message for the 400th time at the last minute. And he comes and says that. And he goes, well, we made it through it. Kind of hands something over to Mike Wazeski. And I said, with a good attitude. And he goes, like this. He goes, what are you trying to say, Kevin? What are you trying to say? You know. We all do that to one another, and we should, shouldn't we? Have a great attitude. Paul does. He's writing this letter. I just can't see him being depressed about this. He's encouraging Timothy. You're a winner. I'm a winner. We're going to make this thing. All right? We're going to obtain that salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. All right? Now, you got to endure to reign. Let's talk about 11, 12, and 13. It is a trustworthy statement. For we, if we died with him, we will also live with him. What a great... Let's stop right there. Isn't this a great one? Really. Because now you can go back and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. He says right here, if we died. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Right? We know what he's talking about, don't we? But most people miss this, don't they? They say, oh, well, you know, if you confess Jesus, Lord, yeah, you've died your old life, blah, 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 you know. Hold on, he says, if we died with him. If we died. So we have to be able to go back and show people where they die, right? And it means you have to die with him, right? Boy, what a perfect segue back into Romans 6, amen? What a perfect segue. If we died with him, do all you that are here that claim to be Christian, I don't know all of you as I look at some of these faces, do you know when you died? Can you tell people when you died? One of the things I learned from Brother Jay a long time ago, when I first started doing Bible studies, and I can't remember the question I asked him, something about how do you, you know, you have people, I think it had something to do with, I might have asked you, Jay, that, you know, you study with people about, you know, proving the Bible's Word of God, you get them through the plan of salvation, you tell them about the need for immersion, and a lot of them go, what? Oh, I was baptized.
Yeah.
Right? I'm baptized. So, Jay taught me an important lesson, and I hope you guys all know it. If you don't, I'll share it with you. And it's something that Jay taught me. Okay? And when you start a Bible study with anybody, one of the first things you do when you sit down with them is if they've ever claimed to be a Christian, and they will, right? Like, let's say you get a study with somebody at work, and they'll find out you're a Christian, and all of a sudden say, oh, you're a Christian? I'm a Christian, too. You'd have no idea, you know, from watching their personal life. But you go, oh, okay. And then you get them in, talked into a Bible, say, hey, we should study together, encourage one another, you know? Okay. Now, that's a good way to get the door open and tell them, well, let me encourage you to look at the proof that, you know, that the Bible is true and get you some real conviction to your faith, and then you lead them to salvation. One of the first things you ask them, tell me about when you were saved. I don't say, tell me how. Notice how I said that. Tell me about when you were saved. And they'll give you the story. I'm forever grateful, Brother Jay. You shared that with me. He was riding down the road. I think we were in my car going back to our house. My house, you know, where the wife lives and lets me come in. But anyway, I've asked that to everybody I've ever studied with. And you know what? That's that string. That's exact words Jay said. He says, that's a string you can pull at the proper time later. So that when they try and claim, I'm baptized, I'm baptized, you can go back and go, remember when I asked you about when you were saved? When you became a Christian? And Brother Mike Wojcicki and I, we were in a Bible study. Justin Bolton sat in on it for a period of time, most of the time, as I recall. And then Jason Nagel, who's now out in Ohio. By the way, there's more dead in Ohio. More dead in Ohio. Right? You guys all know that song, right? Dear brethren, our Lord is coming. We'll surely go on home. But I hear the Spirit calling. There's more dead in Ohio. More dead in Ohio. Right? Well, how about Montana?
Yep.
There's a lot of them. But we sat in the study with a young man that Mike worked with. And I asked him that question. You remember that, Mike? And this young man was excited about the study all the way through. He had a great attitude. And we get up to the point where I laid out the plan of salvation. I talked about, you know, belief, repent, confess, be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, remain faithful. We got done, and I looked across the table, and this young man was always smiling in these studies, brethren. And I am serious. Yes, Mike. Maybe Justin could tell you, too. I know he's there for a lot of them. Justin Bolton. But as soon as I said that, man, that early chapters of Genesis where God, you know, tells, hey, lift your countenance up there, Cain. I mean, this young man's countenance went like somebody ran a hand over his face. You know? I mean, he immediately went, didn't he, Mike? He was done with the study. Did we get together after that? And all I did is I looked at him, I said, now, I looked at him and I said his name. I said, now, you know what you said when we first started this study. You know what the Scripture says. So you now know what your eternal state is. And that's when it's, boom. Yeah, I thought we saw the Star Wars movie taking place. Whoop, these are not the droids you're looking for. Whoop, you know, just like that. But it was amazing. That was the most clearly defined for me when somebody rejected the gospel like that. He judged himself unworthy. Nice kid. He is. He's a nice kid. But he's dead. Not the right dead. He is eternally dead. See, he wouldn't let go and accept the fact that he'd been lied to, that he deceived himself, and he was not saved. So again, if we have died with him, we shall live with him. So we go back, we prove to one another, to ourselves, when we die, we know we live with him. Right? And we shall also live eternally with him where he's at. Wind's coming up. I'm moving towards a conclusion, Jay. How long have I been going? Any idea? Thank you for the wind, Lord. Yeah. All righty. I am moving towards a conclusion. Okay. It says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Hey, don't you reign with him? Doesn't the scripture say we reign with him? It does. How about the Revelation? I know it's two times that it says in there that we're priests of God and we reign with him. We know that's about us. Under the new covenant, who's the priest of God? Christians. We reign with him. Let's talk about if we continue. Right? As he goes on to say, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Now, brethren, history is filled with examples. Oh, I don't know how to keep this. If I move this, they blow away. If I put it, okay. If you endure in the message, Kevin, you'll finish it. Okay. Oh, thank you. I do need another paperweight. Things are.
It won't go off.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate it. Really, I do. Okay. I was saying, history has got lots of examples of kings and queens that have abdicated their throne. You guys know what I'm talking about? How about the guy that was in line for king of England, I believe it is, and he abdicated, didn't he? To marry a divorced woman. They said, you marry that divorced woman, you're done. He abdicated his throne for a woman. Some will do it for a bowl of beans. Won't they? Scripture teaches us that. If we endure, we'll reign with him. You know, here comes the problems. Here comes the trials, Timothy. Just read the rest of the letter. Here they come in later days. In these last days, difficult times are going to come. You guys think that it's difficult out there today? I think it's difficult. As a Christian, I do. I mean, among the world, it's difficult out there. I have not lost faith. I am not worried about my salvation, but it's difficult working with people out there. Difficult times are coming. They have come. We need to endure, right? I hope you're saying yeah. You know, in the days of Rome, from the way I understand it, a little bit of study that I did, the Romans, after Nero, and as it continued down the road with Christianity being outlawed, the Romans would come to people and they'd require them to make a sacrifice to the Roman gods. That's how they would know for sure. Guess who they were trying to get? The Christians. You know, that's why I say governments are smart. And that's why we have the letters that we have and we have the book of Revelation. See, we know that the adversary god, Satan, he works in tandem with governments, ungodly governments, and it's always to put down the church. So you're going to endure? I think the book of Revelation says, to those who overcome, to those who overcome, to those who overcome, to those who overcome. You know, it doesn't sound like, to steal your line, those who limp into heaven. You know, well, you think you're a bunch of Walter Brennans? Will you? You know, yeah, come on, will you? You know, give me a break. Give me a break. All right, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. All right. Now, for he cannot deny himself. I think the thrust of this is definitely looking towards if you basically abandon the faith. But you'll have people, I don't know about you, but I've had new Christians ask this question. Maybe you guys have experienced this. I'll bet you Jay has. They'll become a Christian, or they're looking at what it takes to become a Christian, and they go, wow, this is going to be tough. And then they go, wow. Well, they read a passage like this, and they call you or text you, or at the next Bible study, they say, I read this passage here, and it says, if we are faithless, you know, and we're in trouble here. If we deny Him, if we're faithless, I mean, what happens if I sin again? Am I toast? Have you guys ever had that question? I actually have. I've had that question. You know? So I say, no, it's all, what He preaches to you is what you practice. And they go, huh? Maybe you guys don't understand what I mean by that. If you're practicing sin, well, yeah. If you're faithless, yeah, you're done. But if you're practicing righteousness and you stumble, that's why we have 1 John that says, if we sin, it doesn't say when we sin. Very interesting how God makes sure the little words are there that need to be there. If we sin, we have an advocate, don't we? Jesus Christ the righteous. He is faithful, right? Faithful to forgive us our sin. If we confess Him, right? So, we still have that aspect in there. That, you know, He is going to be faithful and forgive us. But if we are practicing unrighteousness and that's our lifestyle, we're in trouble. Very clearly. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. For He cannot deny Himself. So if we're faithless, He's going to deny us. If we don't confess Him, you know, in Rome again, you don't confess Christ, you know, you're done. If you confess Christ, you're done. Those days, I really believe, are coming in America. I really believe it. Okay. He cannot deny Himself. I'm going to try and move quickly to the end here, guys. Jump over a bunch of stuff. Now, by the way, faithless, brethren, isn't just licentiousness. I want to make sure you understand this. It isn't just licentiousness. It's also trying to do this by law. That's still faithless. If you try and do it by law, you're still faithless. Doesn't mean just licentiousness. Right? Make sure we understand that. You can't try and do this by law. It's got to be by faith. Now, let's go. It's starting to rain. Let's move to Revelation here. Revelation 19. You guys still hanging in there with me? Okay, Revelation 19. Oh, I'm in 17. No wonder I can't find it. All right. I think I got the right page now. Revelation 19. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. And we can go on and read. That is Christ Jesus in the book of Revelation. Faithful, true. Let's go back a couple of chapters to Revelation 17. The few, the humble, the Christian. Verse 14 of Revelation 17. These will wage war against the Lamb, forces of the beast, and the Lamb will overcome them, because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are the called, chosen, and the faithful. You've been called according to the gospel, brethren. The called, the chosen, the faithful. So remember Jesus. Risen from the dead, descendant of David, should be, all of us should be saying according to my gospel, amen? Amen? Suffer hardship with me. We may be in prison. The Word of God can't be in prison. Let's endure for the sake of the elect. Judge your brethren appropriately, the value of your brethren. What God did for them and did for you. And then, brethren, there's a trustworthy statement. It's better than gold, right? It's better than gold. If you died with Him, you live. and you're going to reign with him. Endure, brethren. Endure for the sake of the chosen. Endure. Do not deny him. Stand for him. Hold to the gospel, the truth. Don't let it be corrupted, brethren. And that's what he's encouraging Timothy to do. Forces are coming that want to corrupt this gospel. Brethren, you know there's lots of forces out there that are corrupting the gospel. It's no different for us today. He is faithful to his word. You can take it to the bank. All right? So I throw that in there. To the bank in heaven. And he's going to say, there's the deposit. My spirit's in you. Mine. And where does that happen, brethren? We know you died with him when you were immersed into him in the waters of immersion. And that's where you receive that Holy Spirit, that down payment, that pledge, that deposit that you can take to the bank in heaven. And it's better than gold. Better than gold. He's faithful. We're not going to be faithless. Amen. We're not going to be faithless. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for your attention.